You know, I get the feeling as I study this last letter that Paul wrote that Timothy really needed some encouragement. I feel like Timothy was stressed out. I feel like he was really nervous. He was under a lot of pressure. I mean, here Paul's in prison. He's about to be martyred. There's this persecution going on, and there's all this deception in the church, and just so many, many problems. And Timothy, you know, he's scared. He's struggling. He's ready to take a big step back. He's ready to call it quits. He's wondering, what did I sign up for? But Paul writes this letter to encourage him, to really exhort him. Timothy, hang tough. You need to be a soldier for Jesus, a hardworking farmer in the kingdom of God, a disciplined athlete. Timothy, you need to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't back down. Stand strong. In our text tonight, I find him really encouraging Timothy, giving Timothy motivation to stand strong. We need that. You know, the same exhortation goes to us. We're to be good soldiers for Jesus Christ. Hardworking farmers, disciplined athletes, willing to endure hardship for the kingdom of God. But it can get tough sometimes, can't it? You know, there may be a few of us here tonight, and you're really struggling. You got some issues on your plate. Maybe it's just things of the world, like financial issues or relationship issues, perhaps legal matters or whatever, persecution. Maybe you've been involved in ministry, but you're getting a little bummed out with it, a little burned out, and maybe you're just tired and you're really struggling. Maybe you're discouraged tonight. Maybe you sort of dragged yourself to church tonight. Have you ever done that? Well, I hope we can all be encouraged tonight around the Lord's table. Read the text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Amen. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. I think that Paul tells Timothy to remember six things. I know, Timothy, I'm telling you to stand strong. I know it's really hard and it's going to be very difficult, but I want you to remember six things, and that'll motivate you. And first and most importantly, I love this, it's very simple. Paul just says, Timothy, above all other things, simply remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. I like that. I like things to stay real simple. And you know what's real simple and what works very effectively in your Christian life? Is to just simply remember Jesus. Just keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Get all of your attention on Jesus. We're told in Hebrews chapter 12, the secret. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Discouraged tonight? tough things happening in your life, just simply remember Jesus. Keep your eyes. Remember who Jesus is. He says he's of the seed of David. That's speaking of his humanity. It says that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's speaking of his divinity. Think of how spectacular Jesus is. Fully God, fully man. Think of who he is. Think of what he's done. And remember that your Christian walk, your Christian faith is about a relationship with Jesus. You have a personal relationship with him. Amen? It's not a religion. It's not a creed. It's not a religious exercise. You have a relationship with Jesus. Remember him. Keep your eyes focused on him. That glow, that excitement, that courage, that peace, that joy, that ability to rise above all the trials and tribulations of this life comes by gazing at Jesus. You're able to do so as you look at Jesus. You know, I've noticed if I'm looking at Jesus, everything's cool. If I'm thinking about Jesus, I can almost face anything. The moment I get my eyes off Jesus, like Peter, who looked at the waves, what happens? Start to sink. There's just something supernatural about keeping Jesus at the forefront of your mind. It's about Jesus. Remember him. So easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get our minds on our career or on our problems. Sometimes it's easy to get our minds on things that are good, like church activity, busy ministry, helping others, all good things. But when those things take the place of Jesus in your life, what happens? You get burned out. You get bummed out. Makes me think of Mary and Martha. You remember that story with Mary and Martha? Jesus comes over to their house for dinner, and Martha thinks she's Martha Stewart. And she's all around preparing everything, getting all the stuff ready. And Mary just decides, oh, I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus and just take it all in. Martha comes up to Jesus. Hey, tell Mary to give me a hand in the kitchen. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the better thing. And you know what, folks? Listen. In your Christian life, priority must be given to your one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. Sitting at his feet. Timothy, it's going to be rough, but let me encourage you. Remember this. Don't ever forget it. Remember Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 8, remember the gospel. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Timothy, it's going to be tough. It's difficult. You're going to suffer. But just do this. Remember Jesus and remember the gospel. Remember the pure, old, simple gospel message. Christ crucified and risen from the dead on the third day. And by his shed blood, we are forgiven of our sins, cleansed. And by faith in him for what he's done on the cross, we have the hope of heaven. Just keep that at the front of your mind. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 80 years. Don't ever let the simple gospel message become old hat to you. Stay thrilled with it. You get to go to heaven because the Son of God allowed himself to be sacrificed on the cross for your sins. So you never forget those things. I don't care what you're facing down here. I don't care how hard it is. Whatever financial difficulty, whatever relationship difficulty, whatever it is, if you can keep your mind on Jesus, remember him, and remember the gospel message and the fact that you're saved and going to heaven, you know, everything's going to be okay. In fact, I think everything else in life is icing on the cake, don't you? Compared to that. As we sit at this table tonight, that's really what communion is all about. It's about remembering. Jesus told us to partake of these elements in remembrance of him. And so in a few moments when we distribute the wafer and the juice, take that time. Look at that wafer. Understand that that represents Christ's broken body. His side was pierced with a spear. His hands were nailed. His head was pierced with thorns. We remember all that. When you look at that juice, remember that that's significant. It's speaking of the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. Remember the gospel. Remember Jesus. Remember what he did. And we're not just remembering any sacrifice. We're remembering the sacrifice of the Son of God. Keep that always securely fixed in your mind. Look what Paul goes on to say in verse 9. According to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. Now, one thing we know about Paul was he suffered. He was a great man of God. God used him mightily, but he paid the price. He suffered. When he's writing this letter, he's suffering. He's in chains. He's a prisoner. It says that he's suffering trouble as an evildoer, literally as a criminal. Now, isn't that weird how backwards the world is? I mean, here Paul's doing the greatest thing that anybody can do, preach Jesus Christ, and the world treats him as a criminal. Locks him up. Oh, get the Christian. Dangerous. Lock him up. I hate that, how as we get closer and closer to the end, the Bible says that evil will be called good. And good will be called evil. And how it's all backwards. Well, Paul is suffering, and the way I take verse 9, he's telling Timothy, remember my suffering. I know you're going to suffer. I know it's going to be tough. I'm asking you to be a soldier. But let me encourage you, remember my suffering. Remember the suffering of others and the fact that they persevered through it. Remember, my brother, my sister in Christ, when you suffer, remember others have suffered too. And they've persevered. They've made it through. And in many ways, because other Christians have suffered, we've been blessed through their suffering. Do you know that you have your Bible in English by people who were martyred for doing so? The Bible at one point was written in Latin. Only the clergy could read Latin. The common people couldn't understand it. They spoke English. John Huss, Wycliffe, and others decided they wanted to translate the Bible from Latin into English, and many of them were burned at the stake for that. But they suffered, they endured, they persevered. And we enjoy the fruit of their suffering. What if they didn't suffer? What if they didn't persevere? It's an interesting verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is a good one to put in your heart. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I want you to understand, nothing comes into our lives that isn't common to all man. You know, a lot of times when we get hit with something, maybe for the first time, we think maybe it's a financial issue and you've always been good financially, but all of a sudden you get a financial issue and you go, man, this is the worst problem in the history of humankind. And we tend to think that, and we tend to get all wrapped up in our problems and think, oh my gosh, nobody's seen anything like this before. Be encouraged. There's been lots of people that have seen things like we suffer in. And guess what? They persevered through it. God got them through it. He certainly will get you through it too. Remember Jesus. Remember the gospel. Remember that others have suffered and persevered. I love what Paul says at the end of verse 9, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. That's kind of a tongue twister, excuse me. Even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Now, I love that. I can see him sort of smiling as he writes that. These Romans think they've got me all locked up. They only knew. Paul had wonderful confidence in the word of God. Paul knew that though he would be locked up, though it looked like the enemy was going to win, that the word of God was going to keep going. The word of God would last forever. And there is no doubt that Paul, in his suffering, got comfort from the word of God, from the promises of Scripture. And so I see Paul saying, Timothy, I know it's tough. I've asked you to be a soldier. But here's another thing that I don't ever want you to forget. Remember the power of the word of God. Remember it. Hold on to it. Bible is not chained. The Bible's been attacked more than any other book through history. It's been burned, banned, mocked, twisted, and ignored. But the word of God stands forever. Amen? It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So I don't care how bleak it might look in your life. I don't care. You know what? God's word stands forever, and what he has promised, he will accomplish. And you hold on to that. God's word will not return void. And if you're going through a difficult time in life, one of the best things you can do is to get yourself immersed in the word of God. Nothing like reading the word of God. It will give you peace. It will give you perspective. It's not chained. It's alive and active. One pastor used to put a warning label on the Bibles that he would hand out. It said, warning, this book is habit forming. Regular use causes loss of anxiety, decreased appetite for lying, cheating, stealing, hating. Symptoms, increased sensations of love, peace, joy, and compassion. I love that. Remember the power of God's word. Let that encourage you. And then in verse 10, wow, we see a major, major motivation for Paul. Look what he writes. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, here you see into Paul's heart. This is why he was willing to be beaten. This is why he was willing to be in prison. This is why he was willing to face any trial. He was unwilling to endure all things because there were still lots of people that needed to get saved. And he's willing to pay the price. And Paul never forgot that. Paul remembered that wherever he was, there were people all around him that needed to get saved. They needed to hear the gospel. It consumed him. It was his passion. And he's telling Timothy, don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. People need to get saved all around your life. And I would say that would be another very important principle for us to remember, no matter how difficult it may get, no matter how hard. Don't ever, my brother and sister in Christ, don't ever lose sight of the fact that there are people that you work with that still need to get saved. There are people in this community that need to get saved. There are people in your neighborhood that need to get saved. There are people that need to see the love of Christ in your life and through your life. There are people that need to hear the gospel message from you. So that's how you keep going. You got saved. Now you want to see others get saved. That keeps you going. Remember, Paul said, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And then verses 11 through 13, I think, is an interesting section of Scripture. He says, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Most Bible scholars believe that this was an ancient hymn that the early Christians sung. If there was a Caleb in those days, perhaps you'd hear that song on Caleb. It was a hymn that went throughout the churches, and they sang that. And what do you see? What's the major thrust of that hymn? What does it remind you? It says this: remember, there are future consequences to the way you live your life now. Remember, how you live now will have consequences in the next life, in the future. He says it positively in verse 11. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Listen, if you suffer with Christ, if you're willing to be a good soldier, a good farmer, good, keep it up no matter what you face. One day in the next life, you will be rewarded. God is not in debt to anybody. The Bible clearly says if you're faithful with a few things in this life, he will trust you with many things in the next life. He'll reign. You'll reign with him. So stay diligent. Look ahead. Don't just live for this life. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's kind of a scary thing, isn't it? If we deny him, he will deny us. Jesus also said that very plainly in Matthew chapter 10. He said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So hear the warning carefully. If you live your life here denying Jesus, denying that you know him by the way you consistently live your life, there'll be consequences. You know, I think that if a person, after supposedly coming to Christ, a person who's never changed, and then lives the rest of their life as if Jesus never did anything for them, I think that person should question their salvation. Because there needs to be a change. I don't want to scare anybody. You remember that Peter denied the Lord, didn't he? I mean, he literally denied the Lord. How many times? Three times. Wept bitterly, didn't he? Did Christ throw him out? Enough for you, Peter. Three strikes, you're out. No, thank the Lord. But Peter had to repent. Peter came back. Jesus brought him back. The point is of that hymn, though, the overall general point of that hymn is that the way you live here will have consequences in the future. And remember that. Keep that firmly fixed in your mind. I'm suffering for Christ. It's hard. Think of the reward that comes later. Think of the treasures. David Livingstone, famous missionary, got in a little dispute with another missionary on the mission field, tragically. And through it all, he gave up his house and garden at a place called Mabasta. He did it because he didn't want to have there be any scandal before the heathen. So he just walked out. He began in a new place, the laborious building of a house and school, and gathered the people around him. His colleague was so struck with his generosity that he said, if he had known his intentions, he never would have spoken a word against him. So they did eventually make peace. But Livingston did say during the midst of that, "I like a garden," he wrote, "but paradise will make amends for all privations here." You suffer here for Christ. There will be eternal glories for you. So, remember these things. Keep these secure. Tough times, remember. Remember Jesus. Remember the gospel. Remember that others have suffered and persevered. Remember the power of the Word of God. Remember that there are others that still need to be saved. And remember that there are future consequences. Amen. Let's bow our heads. We are going to remember what Christ has done the way he told us to remember it. And I would ask now that maybe we turn the lights down. In verse 8, Paul called the gospel my gospel. He said, according to my gospel. Was Paul saying that that's a gospel he made up? No. That's Paul saying that he had received the gospel personally. That the gospel message had become his gospel personally. That Jesus had become his Savior personally. Can you say that? Can you, like Paul, say that the gospel is your gospel? If not, you need to make sure you can before you partake of these elements. Partaking of communion is for those who understand it. These elements represent what he's done for you. It's our way to remember. So if you haven't received Christ yet, pray this prayer with me. Simply say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Wash me, cleanse me. Why don't we have the brothers come up and we'll distribute these elements. Hold these and we'll all take them together. Really seek the Lord right now. Remember what he's done. Ask him to wash over you with his presence.